Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino Pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang, bang,
the
bang, bang, bang. Don't say nothing. Bang, the bang, the bang, bang.
We be jumping.
Bang, the bang, the bang, bang.
Just act like you know, and homie, stop.
Can't be stopping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the essays in the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping. Rolling in my low top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we bust. Shackled up like a nut going 5150. G'd up in the feet up. Creased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot. Like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clock up in the shop. Straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez. Cálmate un momento, paisa, no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Cali to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy K, yo, man, that boy don't play. It's in my NIAK, putting it down all day. Representing Southern Cali, get in my way, you'll get sprayed.
We be dropping.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
We be dropping.
All right, so you guys ready to review WrestleMania Night 2?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
We're gonna,
okay.
Yeah.
So you go match by match. You go match by match, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want, I'll start it off. I'll give my comments first. If you don't agree or you do agree and you have a comment, go right ahead and, you know, do your shit.
Right.
Go
so
ahead,
the beginning was obviously America the Beautiful. They brought out the new voice of country music, Ashlyn Kraft, who I don't know who that I don't know if a lot of people know. Maybe she's famous.
Ooh.
And I don't know. Yeah.
Ooh.
They did the two jet fly over the video package with the same one from the night before. Hogan and Titus came out as pirates. It says here on this ProWrestling.net report that there was booze whenever Hogan spoke and cheers whenever Titus spoke. So Orton versus The Fiend is the first match. It says, fireworks shot off. Alexa came out first and brought out the big jack. There's a big jack in the box at ringside. She wound it up. The Fiend comes out. And
need you to read the whole story.
I was trying to do
match.
It like Disco did it. Yeah. But yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So Orton versus The Fiend.
Okay. So, because they all saw it.
Yeah.
You know, right? Did you guys all see it, right?
And
I'm sure everybody that's listening to the show saw it. So let me just say this. Big fan of having WrestleMania over two nights because I hated the one-night, eight-hour WrestleMania marathon.
Yeah.
That was fucking brutal. Great idea.
Easier to digest, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And I will say this, bro. I thought this when the match started. I have a feeling they're putting this match on first because people are less likely to boo because they've been sitting there waiting for the show to start and they're more energized. Great job, guys. You still got them to boo. Incredible, bro. What a fucking weak finish. What the fuck was that? And let me just say this. I understand. First of all, why would she distract him during the match? I know that somebody's going to say, oh, that's going to be explained later, and I'll get to that. Why would she distract him during the match, and why would he turn his back on Orton, okay? Now, people will say, oh, you know, we're going to find out later on to create buzz. Bro, this is the show where more people are watching your show, number one. Number two, when this first started, as you know, I was a humongous fan. It was my favorite thing on the show every week. And they managed to turn me against it, okay? This was the show where you had the show improve. This was the show where you had to give me something, and you gave me that to watch it Monday again. To me, that was weak.
It was definitely weird. And, I mean, the biggest reaction they got was the holy shit chant. And it was just like everything was discombobulated. And like you said, people are saying, well, it's going to come out later that maybe they were together, that something happened, but it's like, well, WrestleMania is where you're supposed to give all of those endings.
Yeah.
That's where you're supposed to tie off all the loose ends for the year.
Yeah.
Not only that, bro, the guy's got, I mean, I think everybody will agree with me, fucking Fiend's got like a babyface entrance. They were popping for him.
Man, that entrance was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I thought everything about it.
That entrance is great, but then, like, for me, I started watching, like, fuck, Randy Orton's entrance felt like it freaking took half an hour.
Yeah,
for him to get down the fucking ramp.
Yeah,
new Undertaker.
Oh,
I don't know that. To me,
somebody's song played twice. Was it Orton that played his song played twice?
Yeah. He looped around two and a half times or something.
Yeah, I was saying to the people I was in the room with, I was like, "There's no reason for this to take more than 5 minutes." Well, it went 5:50, and had the complete opposite of what I thought. I'm like, why it's going to crush him, get revenge for getting burned? So you can, he could be set on fire and come back, but a single RKO. put him down for the count. I was like, that is fucking stupid. Now, what I read on Twitter, and I haven't followed this as close as some people. Someone on Twitter said, here's what happened, right? Alexa Bliss initially was possessed by the spirit of Sister Abigail. And now that she brought the Fiend back to full power, Sister Abigail has full power over Alexa Bliss and turn on the Fiend. I don't know. That's someone on Twitter put that. I was like, thanks. Like, that helps. Like, what the fuck?
It
was.
I think it's like. Did Orton do? Did he only do that one offensive maneuver? The other RKO? Did he get one other offensive move in the whole match?
He did the draping DDT a couple times.
Oh yeah,
and so I was gonna say, like, he got his ass whooped the whole time. He had one move, and then they're like, he slayed the Fiend. Yeah. Meanwhile, the Fiend's standing up already, looking across the ring. It's like,
and he did some moves where he did the back suplex on the table. Fiend popped right up. He did the DDT off the rope. Fiend popped right up to make him. Oh, he's still indestructible. And then 1, 2, 3.
CJ, you wanted to say something, right?
Oh yeah. My first line when I was taking notes was the big ass box that Bray Wyatt was in, and I was thinking about how, speaking of Cornette, how it's automatically over because it's a box. So I kind of had like a bad omen about the match. And my other note was like a weird, that weird-ass finish, man. I don't get it, man, because Bray Wyatt is one of the most creative talents on that roster, hands down. And they keep fucking up his character, man. So I'm like you, Conan. I'm frustrated, and I'm out on this whole storyline, because this is, what, the second time where Bray has had something that has so much promise and got the crowd over and everything, and they fucked up.
Yeah.
What is it? What is it with him in particular?
You know what I think about, like, to your point, CJ, when I recall, like, back in the 90s when The Undertaker was having these crazy matches and things like that, and I remember that, I think it was at King of the Ring, where the entire heel locker room came out to I think it was a casket match that he had. Yeah. I don't know if it was with Yokozuna.
It was, yeah.
It was with Yokozuna, where the entire...
The Rumble, I think.
The Rumble 94.
Where the entire heel locker room came out to put him down, right? So you have Bray Wyatt, who gets burned alive, and then all of a sudden gets put down with one RKO. It makes zero sense.
It'd be like if Undertaker got buried alive and came back for his revenge against Yokozuna, and Yokozuna beat him in 5 minutes.
Right, that's exactly with the bonsai drop, and that was it.
And that's it.
Like it makes zero sense.
It
because then
crazy.
You don't. You essentially you bastardize your entire Fiend character.
They're gonna,
like the whole character is done.
Well, they're changing. Yeah. Looks like they're changing the focus to Fiend versus Alexa, whatever that means. So, I don't think anybody was happy with it.
I don't understand. Like, for example, they see something. They see that Roman was special, and they've really protected him. And right, they see Fiend is special, and they don't protect him. You know, and it's like, bro, you've got two special attractions. Protect them, because they're very few and far in between. Then you finally get another act. Now you got three, and you protect those because, you know, they're going to make you money merchandising, blah, 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 blah. And it's
And not to mention, you don't even got to protect him because he's so creative. Just let him do his thing and just don't let him lose. Just...
He should be more creative, Mick Foley, man. He should be the Mankind, as creative as this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
They should. I don't.
And
get
Mankind
it, man.
Lost again. Mankind lost, and he was still over, and he was still able to persevere and make money.
That's a sign of a great wrestler. There are great wrestlers. Scott Hall was another one that they could lose, but they still stayed over. Those guys are special.
Flair.
Joe, what was next?
So they did one of the backstage segments with Bayley trying to talk to Hogan and Titus O'Neil. Bischoff was there. They talked about podcasts. Eric said he'd like to have Bianca and Sasha on the show, and Bayley got pissed off or whatever. That was it. You know, Brian was
So that was Bayley's WrestleMania moment.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that everybody knows that.
Her little old lady outfit, yeah,
and the glasses. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defending the titles against Natalya and Tamina, who won a match on the first night. Went 14-20, and Nia and Shayna
way
won.
Too long.
Yeah. I was going to say I thought it exceeded expectations just a little bit, but what did you guys think?
I didn't
expect nothing.
Exactly.
So technically, you're right, because I didn't expect a damn thing.
Yeah.
How did they even get thrown together? Like, I don't even understand the team.
Yeah, well, Natalya and Tamina were the pissed off veterans that aren't getting a chance, so that's why they teamed up, and they won the match the night before against all the other teams. Nia and Baszler, I don't remember how they teamed.
Did they ever show that Heyman talking smack promo? Because that was the best build they could have done for Natalya and Tamina.
That was good. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I saw it.
Phenomenal.
I didn't show it.
I saw it, but I don't know if they put it on TV at all.
Bro, all those SmackDown talks are great.
Yeah.
All of them. They're fucking... And it's so funny because the wrestlers are giving great promos here that aren't scripted. Shouldn't that be telling you something?
Yeah.
Right.
And they did it. I know we're not reviewing night one, but they did it yesterday when they had to kill time during the rain delay. They were all doing unscripted.
MVP was great.
Yeah. MVP was great.
Yeah.
And Owens. You can see who can talk and can't talk.
Yeah.
And even Drew McIntyre, who got a little flustered in what he was saying, he was still able to recover, and it seemed more real and passionate.
Kevin Owens.
Owens is great.
Kevin Owens, too.
Yeah. Drew had to recover because he started out the promo like bullying his little girl interviewer, and I'm like, ooh, that's not a good one.
That girl interviewer, she was really lost. Like during that delay, Sarah or whatever, she looked like she had no freaking idea.
She took over for the one that just left, right? Kathy Kelly just left or whatever.
Yeah,
was fired or whatever. Yeah,
Charlie or something.
Charlie Kelly, I think. Yeah.
So let me see. This is what I put. This to me was not a WrestleMania worthy match. The fans were totally into Tamina and wanted to see her fucking beat Jax and win the titles. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why they're so invested in Nia Jax and Shayna. They're boring as fuck. They're not good together. Shayna suffers. She should be a singles.
That's one of my notes, too.
I know that they like Nia, but at least now, finally, it was almost like people were seeing somebody Nia's. Well, she's not even Nia's size. I think Nia might legit be the heaviest person on that roster.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was almost like... male or female. That's exactly what I have here, male or female, nothing. And so the
Conan's jokes.
It's all good.
Conan.
What up?
I've got a public service announcement.
Really? You're leaving the show?
No.
All right.
No, K100 with Conan Disco is brought to you by Get Blitzed. Want to hear about Get Blitzed?
I know about it, but go ahead.
Get Blitz was created by Mickey Ray Sinatra from Mo Thug South, plus Courtney, the brains of the operation. The big product here, the number one seller, is their nano-infused THC syrup. This is the real deal THC and not the garbage they sell at the gas stations. It is super potent, like THC on steroids. It has only a 5 to 15 minute onset with as little as a teaspoon, and it's perfect for the weekend, for relaxing, for a party, and there's no hangover. You can take the teaspoon by itself, mix with water, soda, juice, energy drink, whatever you want. Flavors like cherry and grape are both delicious either way. So go to getblitz.com and use the code K100 to get 15% off. Now, I've been using this product and it's fantastic. On my days off, I like to go out and either like do like a long bike ride or a hike or go to the gym and do cardio. And afterwards, I get a nice meal and it's late in the afternoon. I like to take a teaspoon and bro, it's so relaxing. Do you use it? What products do you use this? I love the grape. I use the grape.
I love this thing. Then again, I've been using cannabis in one form or another for like, you know, since I was like 12. I like this a lot because it doesn't bring you down hard. It's a really calm effect when you come down. I love the piña colada. I love the grape. Yeah, those two are the ones that I like. My favorites. And so I'll put it in anything from Sprite to orange juice to some Grey Goose. It mixes well with everything. And like I'm trying to get off blunts, which I love because it's bad for your lungs, just as almost as bad as cigarettes. So I've been trying to get more into liquids and edibles. Yeah, so you can't go wrong with this. I mean, the real deal, we wouldn't be using it and we would not be promoting it.
Yeah, so if you're looking to up your game and avoid low-quality imitations with shady ingredients, check out Get Blitz now at getblitzed.com and use our code K100 to get 15% off. So order, enjoy, and let us know on Twitter or k100questions@gmail.com how your experience was. That's 15% off with the code K100 at getblitz.com.
Yeah, and what makes it so special is, like Disco said before, nano-infused, which is basically nano-emulsification technology. So it breaks the THC into smaller particles for faster absorption, right? Dude, I'm on Blitz right now. So, but anyways, get high, stay happy, functioning, get blitzed, boom.
It was almost like when you were watching that Bobby Lashley match with Drew. It's like Godzilla versus King Kong type, you know, two colossal. I mean, it just looks.
That was a good match,
Yeah, it just looks different. It feels different when you see two huge behemoths going at it. So I thought this match was way too long.
I don't understand why they don't book Shayna like the shooter that she is. Matt Riddle before, like the shooter.
Like they had her in NXT.
Riddle put her as a single and let her be a kick-ass heel to any of these women on the roster, man.
Riddle's silly.
If anything, you put Nia and Tamina together and you play into that Samoan bloodline.
They did that, though. They were a team for a while.
And I will give Tamina credit, bro. She looks motivated. This is the best I've ever seen her.
Yeah,
and you know what?
Roster forever, man.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Forever? Like, what? Forever is like, what is her character, man? Yeah. What is her gimmick? So it looks like they're finally trying to do something with her.
Her and Natalya, they debuted around the same time, and they've been around almost the same time and stuff, and their legacy and all that. I understood the team.
So instead of like, you know how they have the two grizzly veterans, whatever, in NXT, these would be the two bitter veterans.
The two bitter veterans.
Get off my
But
this match went. This could have been half the duration that they gave.
A quarter
7 minutes.
Of the duration.
And here's the worst part, bro. When you're in a big show like this, you want the people invested in every match. They were not invested in this, and that's their fault. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And it was the second match in a row to me that I went, why wouldn't they just give Tamina and Natalya the moment? The crowd wanted it, obviously. Yeah. What is the point of having them lose?
The first hour of the show tonight was pretty brutal.
Yeah. It was terrible.
I thought it was funny though when Nia said, "I'm King Kong, bitch." That did make me laugh.
Or when Nia was just like calling, like screaming her spots out right on camera, like lay the next one in.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Like it was like, what the fuck,
bro? They actually gave her a backdrop, which I'd never seen her take
off the top or something, right? Yeah.
The good part about them, at least, is that when they break them up, they can have a program between the two of them, Nia and
Shayna.
I mean, for her health though, she needs to drop a few.
On roundtables and stuff a lot, man. When you look at when she was supposed to be the big destroyer in NXT and WWE when she first showed up, dude, she was like 60, 80 pounds lighter, maybe even. She is. Yeah. Big, her legs. Yeah.
She's got
big.
Two knee surgeries already.
Right.
Yeah, she's like even when Natalya was trying to put the sharpshooter on her, like the size of her leg.
And you also got to remember, right? She's got those Samoan genetics, bro.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I've been to Samoa in the service, and the girls that were like 13 years old were bigger than me. I was like, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
So Nia and Shayna held onto the belts. They did the video package for Kevin and Sammy with Logan Paul. Sammy comes out and introduces Logan Paul, who comes in. Him and Paul hug. Paul gets a mixed reaction. And so it's Zayn versus Owens to go along with their feud, the conspiracy feud with Paul outside. It went 9:20. I thought it was a little bit longer. What did you guys think of it?
I had actually tweeted, why isn't Paul on commentary? He's entertaining. Why wasn't he on commentary? Yeah. Just sitting there like a jack off, like he knows how to cut a promo. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think people that are in a higher position knew who the fuck he was. The guys that brought him in knew who he was, whoever that is, but maybe like Vince and Bruce were like, it was just some,
well, then they need to explain to him, we're playing this guy a lot of money because of this and fucking put him on commentary. I don't buy that. That's bullshit.
Isn't that like Triple H, and not that he's a young guy, but he's also not Vince McMahon. He's not that old. He should be up on who these guys are.
I will say
that, like,
he's in NXT.
Yeah.
Right. My kids were supposed to go to sleep, and as soon as they saw Logan Paul on there, they begged me to stay up.
That's
and I had and weird. They watched him because they know exactly who that guy. I don't know who he is.
Right.
Like, I don't watch YouTube. They watch YouTube. But they don't watch WWE. It drew them in.
Mm.
It drew them into
just like Bad Bunny.
Just like Bad Bunny.
So, and one thing I wanted to say, because everyone talked about having a spread across two nights was way better and all. I don't know as we go through here what the match times were. We'll find out. But I do know that in night one, it said not one match went over 20 minutes. Not one match. Fucking, we've been talking about matches being too long forever. Not one match of Mania went over 20 minutes, you know. So that's why
I could have scraped a few minutes off the girls' match and put it on this one.
1,000.
I was digging this match. Yeah. This was just fun shit. Like
this, one of my notes was match of the year contender. Or match of the year, match of the night contender.
Yeah.
Right.
At this point, man.
Yeah.
Right. Well, like, at this point, it was a match of the night.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point of the show going forward,
it was a good match. Yeah.
there's like about an hour and a half straight after at this point forward where people were just laying shit in hard. Like from about here, the next two matches on, I was like, well, these guys were really thumping each other with some stuff. Like,
but and let me just say this: I thought besides the fact that the match was great and Zayn is incredibly awesome and so's KO, I thought that they could have gotten a little bit more out of it if after the match, Logan cut a heel promo on the crowd and hyped up his fight, and then he got stunned, okay? And that was kind of a funny stunner he took. He kind of leapt forward and rolled, but, you know, it was pretty animated, and I liked it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was weird the way he took it. Like, he just bent forward. He didn't go down at all.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He took it like Van Damme would take an RKO, but it was a stunner. It's different. You're supposed to.
No, he just took it like somebody that's never taken a fucking stunner and isn't a wrestler. And I like that. Yeah. It wasn't like, all dramatic. It was like all fucked up. Yeah. Like it probably should look like. Like Vince took one once that was brutal.
Similar to that, too. Yeah.
The one where he's shaking.
Like it looks like what would happen if a regular average human being.
Right, exactly. Like
It wouldn't bounce 35 feet upside down like RVD used to do.
Or The Rock. Remember when The Rock would take a stunner?
Or Scott Hall. Hall took one that was he popped up so high that people eventually made. Like a Twitter thing about it, memes where Austin gives him the stunner and he flies up and he fucking hits the moon and all that as it comes back down. Yeah.
I had a quick question, Conan. Like, why is it that this match was so, like, they laid it in? Like, it was rough between them. Like, what is it between two friends? Because they've been friends for a long time. What is it, like, when you're wrestling a friend that makes you, like, go in?
Because sometimes,
assume it would be the opposite.
Because sometimes when you're wrestling a guy that isn't your friend, you don't know how he might take it, right? And then he might potato you back, and now you're both potatoing each other. You know what I'm saying? But when you're with a friend, you just tell him, bro, let's just bring it. And you already know, you know, it's going to be very physical. And since you're boys, there's always going to be when you're in a wrestling match and you know you're going to wrestle somebody that's your friend, you're like, fuck, there's going to be a night off, you know, because there's no ego involved or, you know what I'm saying?
So there was a segment when they had like a slugfight in the corner, and it was like you could tell that they were hitting each other with five rounds.
That's how
much they love wrestling. They're like, let's just bring it, bro. Let's give the people. Yeah. They're expecting it. You know, they're still fans. You know, they still look at it as fans. You know, and that's what's great. I love when I watch those two guys because
I think a lot of people don't realize outside of Canada here don't realize how much like. Regular media coverage those two guys get.
Oh, really?
Like that shit was on like the sports news in Montreal and stuff, like the regular sports news stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like those guys bring a lot of
those
media.
Guys are fucking great.
Yeah, man. They can work together blindfolded, man.
That uppercut in the corner looked crazy.
Yeah, you could hear it. Someone got their jaw. Who threw it? Zayn Owens?
Sammy threw it to KO.
Cracked his jaw, man.
I would love to see Sammy win a few matches with that Blue Thunder Bomb, man. Because that, to me, that's a finisher, bro.
That's cool, ain't it?
I've always been frustrated on why he doesn't win matches with that thing, man.
He
delivers it, man. It looks devastating.
And Sammy's another guy, and we just mentioned this, some other wrestler who can take losses and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Because his character's over, man.
Right.
Well, Owens wins with the stunner. Paul mocks Zayn and pushes him down. I don't know why they didn't just do the short punch or whatever, maybe they didn't trust him or whatever. Owens, you know, gets his hand raised and turns on Paul, stuns him. Paul acts like he's knocked out and has to get helped out, which I thought was cool. And Owens sees his family. Riddle. Oh, it says Tom Phillips is out for the weekend due to COVID protocols. I heard he was gone. Meltzer reported he was gone.
Yeah. I don't even know who that
is. He's the Raw announcer. he's the Raw announcer. That's why Cole was calling everything.
There's three of them. Which one?
Right. The boy in the middle.
One that isn't Samoa Joe the other guy?
The generic Ken doll one.
Yeah. He's not Joe or Saxon or whoever
brutal,
the other guy is.
Bro. Their commentators are brutal.
He's the generic white
bro,
boy in the middle.
Bro, did you see that commercial, which I actually thought was funny? And I could not believe, it's, you know, between WrestleMania 1 and WrestleMania 2, how many WWE stars were like in big commercials. you know, with their characters, you know. It's been incredible, the scope of that company. But I did like this commercial. I liked the one where Baron Corbin was a hardcore biker with the reflectors for the Snickers thing. That was funny.
Another thing was that
he should come out as that character.
Yeah.
Probably get be much more better. Over than the king. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a better run with that.
Conan, guess what?
Yo, what up?
We have some great news.
All right.
The Legacy Test Stack and the Legacy Ultimate Test Stack are back in stock for LegacySubs.com. And I'm sure our boy Nick Aldis, who ruptured a biceps tendon, is going to be stacking up on the Legacy Test Stack and the Ultimate Test Stack to rehabilitate his injury. Do you think he might be doing that?
For sure.
Well, this product has been proven to be so popular that Legacy has been out of stock for almost a month. So if you've been on the fence about trying their best-selling stack for safety and naturally optimize your testosterone levels, don't hesitate. The modern world is full of harmful chemicals that lower your testosterone. The best way to fight back is to make sure you're naturally stimulating your body's own natural testosterone production at all times. Healthy testosterone levels account for more strength and more energy. That's obvious. Also, a healthier sex drive and better sleep. A lot of people probably didn't know that. So invest in your health and performance now and order the Legacy Ultimate Test Stack at LegacySubs.com. And remember to use the code K100. It's the number one discount code used for LegacySubs.com. They get a 10% discount and support the show. That's LegacySubs.com. Level up with Legacy. All of our friends, if they get it, don't forget, reorder if you're running out. And for all our newbies that are listening to this, we've got great testimonials from our followers that have been using this. They've been losing weight, feeling better, getting more muscular. It's great products there by our boy Nick Aldis and LegacySubs.com.
Right. And there's a reason why this is their best-selling thing. We've been doing business with them for 3 years. You know, the Test X9 is like an optimizer. So like he said, it helps with libido. It helps with your energy levels. It helps with your workouts. I mean, you know, testosterone. That's why guys over 40 years old are just running to get the TRT therapy. You know what I'm saying? Because right. It works. So we use these products ourselves. You can't go wrong with them. So get healthy, stay healthy with Legacy Subs. Boom.
Well, yeah. We got to find out also that Rey Mysterio is going to be on the cover of the video game, which is a great
even
thing.
Even though he's not on the show itself, that's pretty nice.
Oh, well, I was about to say, why wasn't he on the show?
Because they had to fit the women's tag team match on there.
Because they had to fit that women's 10 woman whatever
gauntlet
thing in there.
Yeah. They couldn't have the gauntlet. That's so stupid. Anyway, Riddle is driving his scooter around like a goof, and he goes up to Great Khali and his manager, and they have a little bit there. And Van Damme shows up and gives him some of his rolling papers and plugs his website. So, of course, seeing Van Damme and Riddle, who people compare to him a lot together, was kind of the deal there. Then Riddle versus Sheamus, I think.
Now, I will say this. This was great for only one thing because, you know, the new bro met the original bro.
Yeah.
And they should have had them do something really cool together. That would have been nice. But, you know, hey, dude, how you doing? And all this bullshit that they have Riddle doing is mega whack. He's got to have some sort of heat.
Yeah, I hate this.
He deserves way better than that.
They have him do that silly shit, and then he goes out and he works such a vicious
always,
match. You know?
Always.
It's like Miro with the other company doing the game shit, right, and then he works vicious. It doesn't match at all.
I've always said, go back and go to YouTube and look up Matt Riddle, the Ultimate Fighter. He broke this guy's jaw in 3-4 places. The guy didn't know what fucking state he was in. It was one of the most vicious knockouts. I think Rampage Jackson says
the guy
vicious.
Was like moaning and he was on the ground.
He was fucked.
Does anybody in WWE that's writing like Matt Riddle stuff actually know somebody that smokes weed? Because that character doesn't seem to me.
Bruce.
That smokes weed.
Yeah,
you know
Bruce.
What I mean? Like I know some weed heads and they don't act like Matt Riddle. You know what I mean? Like
right, because that's the perception of a 70-year-old man of what a pothead's like. He's still remembering movies of like, have any of you guys ever seen Cheech and Chong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so it was an over-exaggerated version of a pothead. Hey, man, how you doing? And same thing with the fucking Matt Riddle is obviously a rip-up of Spicoli from Fast Time at Ridgemont High. Yeah. That's a movie from the 80s, which Vince probably saw, and he probably thinks all potheads are like that because he doesn't smoke weed himself.
Never look at the back of a dollar bill.
Right, he doesn't know weed smokers are cool motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I thought Riddle, Okay, I thought Riddle smokes anyway, so I thought.
He does. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I smoked with the money.
He got released from the UFC. Pot. He wouldn't give up pot, and he failed UFC drug tests for pot, and he got canned. Yeah, and he was on an undefeated streak.
They just let him smoke.
He doesn't write his own shit, dude.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, but this was I think when we talked about it on here, we all knew that this was going to be some good stuff. Sheamus has had a great year. You know, he's a hard hit son of a bitch, and Riddle's in there. Yeah. The only thing is, I wish they would have hit the move from the top, the finish, because they...
Oh, he looked like he slipped or something.
They got scrambled.
Oh, the white noise. That place would have erupted, bro.
So they had to improvise.
I mean, he recovered pretty nicely.
Yeah, he did.
That brogue kick was...
That kick at the end.
That's nasty brogue kick.
Oh, he caught him flush.
Let me ask you a question. Do any of you guys know where this guy is? Greetings and salutations, my cohorts.
Oh,
Keith Lee. Where is Keith Lee?
He did the watch along on the YouTube page. That was his role.
He had COVID a couple of months ago.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Is that why he got taken off?
He was supposed to win the what title was it? The United States title, and he had COVID, so he got taken off that show. Him and Mia Yim had COVID too, so they got taken off the show. And then that's when Matt Riddle won it. So Matt Riddle wasn't even supposed to be the United States champion. It was supposed to be Keith Lee, and he's been gone since then.
Which makes sense why they gave it to Sheamus, because I was wondering why they took the belt off of Riddle so quick.
He was never supposed to be the champion. It was supposed to be Keith Lee in that spot.
Mm. Well, let me tell you something, because this match was kind of thrown together. They didn't really do a lot. It was just mostly him hitting him with a scooter and telling him to go get fucked. But, you know, to tell you the truth, the people got into this match, even though there wasn't a real big good build for it, which shows how sometimes, even without a good storyline, if you have a good match, you know, you can get over. And Sheamus deserves it. He's fucking worked his ass off, and he's been giving some great matches the last few months.
Yeah, he's a workhorse, man.
That flip that he did into the brogue kick, Riddle, I thought I saw him bleeding, and then when I looked at the replay, bleeding. I didn't see it again. So
he ain't the most charismatic motherfucker I've ever seen, but his work is on point. Yeah,
he was bleeding. Yeah, I think you guys bring it up often too. Is like when guys are hitting each other and laying the stuff in, it just brings you more into the match.
Sure,
because it's you're simulating a fight. So
when you hear it, you don't have to slap your leg. You hear it.
Right. You're watching the match. You go, damn! You
know, absolutely.
Like when Brian Danielson, and we'll get to that match. Brian was kicking everybody.
You heard it.
Oh yeah.
Right.
The only thing I was thinking when I was watching this match was, especially after the last when I was on with you guys, we were talking about Walter the other day, him and Sheamus. You know, that would be a great match. The fucking forearms, the sound they were making, I was like, those chops and those forearms.
But imagine a match between Walter and Sheamus, or Walter and Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Those would be some really good matches.
Walter and a little bit younger Samoa Joe, you know?
Yeah.
I'd love to see Walter and Brian.
They could still do it now, but...
Didn't they bring Walter in for, wasn't it Survivor Series or something? He was just like beat right away or something? Like with the first guy that made it?
He was on the NXT Survivor Series team?
The NXT team, and they just beat him
last year.
Bro, Vince has lost his touch as far as recognizing talent. He ain't going to admit it, obviously, but he has.
I would think Walter would be right up his alley.
Me too, but I'm sure he looks at him and goes, oh, he's got to get in shape or some shit. Yeah. You know, you know, he sees more in almost as fucking the joke. And so, the other guy, go ahead.
No, sorry, go ahead.
What was next?
Well, Triple H gives Bad Bunny a pimped-out microphone, as this puts it, and then they plug his tour. So, thankfully, things are going to be getting back to normal if he's feeling confident enough to schedule buildings and everything.
Hey, that motherfucker did a great job, man.
It was. It was.
It was incredible. Dude,
he did. He worked most of the match. Man. He worked most of the match. It was great.
Yeah. I can't believe they trusted him to be in there that long, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he was practicing for a long time.
Yeah, I know, but think about it. The pressure, your first big match, WrestleMania, and, you know, you got to remember all these things. And he did really good, man. Respect, you know?
And they put him in.
By far, I believe, the best performance by a guest that's not a wrestler.
Maybe, you know, who the only guy I thought did better, that Steve Inouye, Amell guy from the...
Stephen Amell,
Or what? Who is
he's the only guy.
Who's the guy, the punter? I'm drawing a blank, that just wrestled in NXT.
Pat McAfee.
Pat McAfee.
Oh, he was very good.
I think Bad Bunny,
he kind of feels like he is a wrestler, kind of.
I think Bad Bunny is even more remarkable because, like, he's not from a sporting
field
at all.
Right,
not an athlete.
Right.
Not an athlete at all.
Right.
Pat McAfee is an excellent athlete, right?
Right. Yeah.
So Wale comes out and does Big E's song, and it's going to be Big E against Apollo Crews.
And that's cool because if you've ever been to Wally Mania or seen the pictures, New Day was always up there on the stage with him and shit, so they're boys, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they're Nigerian.
Yeah, so we're going to have the Nigerian drum fight for the Intercontinental title next, which is kind of like, I didn't know there was going to be drums out there, but I was like, yeah, it's going to be some kind of street fight maybe with some goofiness. These two killed each other too. We had
yeah, when I heard it was a drum fight and their explanation is, I'm going to beat you so it sounds like a drum, I was like, okay, these motherfuckers don't even know what the match is going to be yet.
Oh, they didn't know yet.
Yeah. They should have had Booker T as the guest commentary, man, because on the pre-show when he was doing the African accent and all the white people were looking uncomfortable, man, that shit.
Yeah.
I was like,
he was messing. He was messing with Lawler.
At first, I thought it was weird because I saw kendo sticks and I go, oh, man, this is just a kendo match. Why don't you just call it that? But it was just a weapons match, you know.
Dumb.
Yeah. It was like a whole bar. That was it.
Why? You know what I'm saying? I mean, they should have had like a whole bunch of guys around the thing beating drums, and you know, maybe
I thought the exact same thing.
You know, maybe an open pit. You know, like the African wrestling. I don't know if you've ever seen it. You know, it looks like
Well, it's kind of like scooting around
out in the dirt. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, singular knees wrestling and shit. Mm. That shit was fucking whack.
I thought the exact
but the
same
match
thing.
Was good. The match was good.
Yeah.
I love the entrance, though, the Wale entrance of Big E. Like, that actually got me pretty hyped for that match. It was, like, really well produced. Yeah.
And it's good to see Big E.
I would rather just seen him have a regular match.
It was good to see Big E kind of get his turn, too, because Kofi had a big WrestleMania match, aside from the tag team, you know, for when he went for the title. This is Big E's big match, you know?
Yeah. But, of course, he's got to fucking lose because he's in his home.
Yeah, a lot of these results were weird. So far right now, the only result I think that was correct was Owens. You know,
this was correct if it wasn't in his hometown, but this was correct because Cruz needs it. Big E's mega over.
Yeah.
He's been tag team champion, whatever, 11 fucking times, which is ridiculous.
But it's time.
He's paid and he's over. You gotta make
hit
opponents for him, and they did a good job today. Now he's got a good opponent, somebody he can chase. You know, and I did like the tope by Big E on Cruz while he was on the apron.
Yeah, great.
A great bump from that orang suplex, whatever, from the apron to the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
You're not.
Yeah.
I think it's time for Big E, like you guys have been saying it for months now.
Right.
He's got to stop the comedy stuff. Like, he lost at WrestleMania. He can't come out on Friday and just be comedy laughing and all. Right. Like, he's got to be serious.
Yeah, when he's coming out of this. Especially when he's like Reverend Big E.
Since both him and Riddle lost titles and stuff, do you think either one of them are getting trying for a push for
not Riddle
the main title?
Maybe Big E. Maybe Big E.
Going back or what?
Yeah. Big E has to. There's nobody else there.
When the Raw Underground was on, I didn't pay that close attention. So this guy, I didn't know who the fuck he was. But Dabba Kato comes out to join.
You mean Yabba Dabba Kato?
Yeah. To join Cruz. He chokeslams Big E. He's got military garb on, it says.
Okay, that's who that was.
Match was only $6.50. They shot off fireworks for the win, for the title win. And then there was the hype video, then WrestleMania.
Okay, let me tell you two things about this. Mm-hmm. First of all, finally they did something with one of these Retribution guys, so it isn't a total loss, okay? I like how they acted like they'd never seen this motherfucker before, okay? When he was in that Raw Underground thing. So
to forget about that.
Right. You don't watch your own show. And so I've been calling him because his name was Kata Dabo or something.
Yeah, and
like
then
that.
It says here he worked as Babatunde. Does anyone remember Babatunde?
I think he was in that when they did that World's Biggest Royal Rumble. He was in one of those specialty shows they did.
In Saudi Arabia.
Battle Royal or something.
But this is what it sounds like to me somewhere down the road, and I'm already dreading this. This sounds like a Vince McMahon special, Yabba Dabba Kato versus Almost. Please don't do that to us.
Yeah. Like that giant Gonzalez match.
Khali was back there too. Like
Austin does a video highlighting WrestleMania coming to Dallas. And by the way, did anyone see Jericho on Austin's show yet?
I didn't watch it.
Where's that?
It's on WWE Network. It's under the Steve Austin
Peacock. Yeah,
the Stone Cold Sessions or whatever it's called. It's the top one. So I saw about the first 10 minutes. I don't know what if they you know censor anything, but it's right in about AEW and Tony Khan and all this. So it looks like it's pretty straightforward. They do the Hall of Fame thing. Everybody comes out. Blah blah blah. Asuka versus Ripley is next. This went 13:30, and you get a new Raw Women's Champion, Rhea Ripley, with the win, which is cool because she lost that match to Charlotte last year and it confused everyone. So they're pushing Ripley. A lot of people seem pleased with this match. What did you guys think?
Well, they had a huge problem, bro. Since there was zero build-up to it, people weren't into the match, and they were putting on a hell of a match. Now, Sasha and Belair had terrible build-up, but at least they had a lot of it and made it seem like something special. So special was the main event of WrestleMania.
And there was history and all that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, but this match had no build-up. So people, this is how weird. Same crowd, right, who Sheamus got over with Riddle, even though they didn't have a good build-up because the match was good. And even though this match was really good, people were never really into it. I don't know if they were tired or what, but this was a really good match, man. Yeah. And I think Ripley, bro, everything about her just screams superstar. You know, the way she looks.
So sexy,
she was talking. Oh my God. She was talking shit to the other one, you know, in the ring with a lot of confidence, a lot of poise. Mm-hmm. She didn't seem nervous. She's hot. She looks cool. All her shit looks snug, bro. She's a fucking superstar.
Who's got the bigger upside, her or Bianca?
I don't know. Rhea's a better wrestler, 1,000%. Yeah, yeah. Right. But they're both very marketable.
Who's a better superstar?
I don't know, bro. They're both superstars.
They're both.
I wish if they knew this is what they were going to do, or, well, I don't know if they had an idea for this or not, but, like, they should have just had – why did they wait so long after the Rumble to get Rhea on TV to build to this? Like, why was she not right there that week?
Bro, Mark, why do they do have to shit – they do that. Yeah. You're like scratching your fucking head. Yeah. I can't figure them out anymore because nothing they really do is logical.
Plus, it was going to be Asuka and Charlotte, right? But then when Charlotte had to dip out, that's when they plugged Rhea in there, I guess.
I got one better. Why not do this last year and have her beat Charlotte, who was a bigger star than Asuka? She was more over going into WrestleMania last year than she was this year.
They really fucked that up last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if the no crowd had something to do with it, maybe, but or if they gave Charlotte the NXT belt to put her on that show to try to try to help.
I think
versus,
that's what
least,
it was.
Yeah.
At least this year they had her come out like dressed like she was when she got over in NXT. Mm-hmm. Remember last year Mania, she comes out in like white and teal or some kind of. Yeah. They changed her whole gear and everything. It looked weird.
So that was second from the top.
Match was awesome.
A bunch of stuff happens. Yeah, they have. Let me see. Bob Odenkirk does an intro for his trailer. Titus and Hogan are on the stage again. Bailey comes out, wants her pyro. The Bellas come out and jerk her around and beat her up. The next pay-per-view segment,
Bailey looks like a J-Bron again.
Oh,
go ahead.
She's terrible.
The next pay-per-view is called...
What happened to Becky?
Ding dong.
The rumor was that Becky was supposed to come out.
Maybe it'll be tomorrow.
The whole weekend it was Becky supposed to come out and have a thing with Bailey.
They could have done that. I just didn't want to see her come out and go face to face with either one of the other winners because it would take away their steam or whatever.
And it made no sense for the Bella Twins to get heat on Bailey when they're not going to wrestle, unless they are, which I doubt they are. They just had a baby.
Well, it's like the NWO coming back and beating up FTR, you know? or the Revival, whatever they were. Next pay-per-view is WrestleMania Backlash, which is a change in the schedule back to the old days. Brian Edge and Reigns all have great entrances. Reigns took his time for sure. Reigns, Heyman, and Uso all wearing Lays. And you got your triple threat match for the title. This went 21:40, the only match all weekend to go over 20 minutes. And crazy great ending. Let's get in though, because it was a really good match. Conan, what did you think of it to start?
I think the main thing that was very weird to me was when Roman came out. I did not expect him to get booed. I thought he was going to be very over, so I liked that, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I was a big fan of him stacking the two baby faces on top of them, beating them both. Not a big fan of that, but what a fucking match.
Yeah, because at least if he pins one guy, the other guy can go, hey, you never beat me, I get the shot next month, whatever. It was very definitive. It's the most definitive ending I think I've ever seen.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I think before he had actually claimed that he was going to do that. And then afterwards, And then afterwards, he did an interview with the three dudes, and he was like, "I told you I was going to stack them on top of each other."
Okay,
so, I didn't mind.
I never heard that in an interview. Go ahead.
I didn't mind it as much. And Daniel Bryan kind of alluded to this being his last WrestleMania, anyway. And
really,
yeah, he said a couple. They ran a couple of times. There were clips of him saying that this might be my last WrestleMania. So I didn't necessarily mind a double pin in that regard. I thought it was keep Roman dominant, because he looked like a badass coming in, man. He's definitely carrying the roster.
They had me for a minute when they both had him in the crossface. I'm like, wow, what a strange finish. That would, a double champion. I was like, don't do that,
Yeah.
But
man, it looked brutal though with that chair in his mouth.
Yeah, it was unique though. Yeah.
But what a great combo.
It was good. I think it's everything that Roman has done in this program has been good. Like, it's definitely, it's remarkable that the same company can turn out SmackDown that we see every week and then give us this other bullshit on Monday.
Yeah.
Like, it's just wild.
It's funny.
It's good shit.
They finally got Roman right. And
yeah.
It's still right. Bray Wyatt, on the other hand, keeps getting over and they keep messing up.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's funny
About everything. And just about, like, I was reading this thing and I was like, wow. Where MVP said that they were trying to convince Vince not to break up the Hurt business, and he went in there himself and tried to convince him, and he said no.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, bro, they look great together. And if you're doing this African American agenda because either you fucked up in the past or you just want to look good in front of fucking society, whatever the fucking reason is, if you're going to do it, look, you had these four guys, you know what I'm saying? And he fucking broke them up. So, like, you don't know half the time what the fuck's going over there in that place. You know, that's when Mark asked me, what do you think's going on? Like, how can you tell? They do so much stupid shit.
And then you can't trust them to... I'm sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I said, and you can't trust them to keep the belt on Lashley for a long run to see what he can do with it. Two months later, they'll probably flip it and put it on somebody else. You know?
I wish they would make him Raw's Roman Reigns, kind of. An MVP could be Heyman.
Right.
You know? Because obviously...
he would have just won the belt at Mania. Well, the Miz did not need to have it in the meantime. Right?
No,
just,
a lot of I've seen
stupid.
I've been seeing and reading a lot of that. Like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, what was the point?
Can I say that my MVP of that main event was Paul Heyman? And I think managers get, like, people don't really realize the impact of a good manager. Because when Roman, there was many times throughout that whole match where Paul was just at the top corner, like the camera was angled perfectly where the action was on the guys in the ring, but he was in the top corner and he just looked worried, like on that submission. And it, like when he was yelling at Roman that the spear was coming, like there were so many things that Paul Heyman
great,
did.
Let me tell you, how many managers are in there? I don't think there's many as there used to be, but how many managers are in wrestling right now?
Because of AEW, there's more than there was.
Well, say them.
Right?
Jake
and Taz are over there. The Bunny, I guess.
Manager?
Don Callis.
Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
Tully.
Tully.
Right. So
and then MVP Paul. And Heyman. Yeah.
MVP.
Right. So if you notice, like, all the old school guys, almost all of them, they're the ones cutting the really good promos. They're the ones that know where they need to be. They're the ones that, aren't upstaging the talent because Paulie, first of all, he's in a league by himself. I worked for him.
Yep.
So I can tell you that, bro, just talking to the motherfucker, you can tell. So he's in a league by himself, but, we've had Lord Cyrus on here a million times and you see how fucking entertaining he is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Get him out of the way. Who's another old school? Taz does still great promos,
Tully.
Yeah, I wish he could work, man. He's still.
Tully, I think Tully does a good job on AEW.
Right.
Very limited amount of time he's on there.
Yeah, he's done some good promos too. Jake's the only one that hasn't really brought it that much. That first promo he did when he first showed up was
awesome.
Fire.
Yeah.
Fire. I don't think Arn has been that great.
No. Either. Me neither.
Yeah, because they keep him as like a clipboard hold and Parcells.
Yeah, he could be better.
He's not meant to. Cody will do his own.
He's funny as fuck, bro, and he cuts some good promos.
And every big time villain across any sort of media that you get to, like if you think of like Marvel and Thanos, like all of these big time villains have their little lackeys. And that's right. what Paul Heyman does such a good job of.
Right.
Just like the way he stares at Roman, the way he was staring at him when he was coming down.
And plus, his facials are comic book villainish style. You know,
absolutely.
yeah.
Over
yeah.
the top.
Very well said.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of weeks ago on SmackDown when Roman was sitting in the chair like a badass.
Right. And he
Paul
was behind
just
him.
Staring at him like right here.
Yeah. Or like
that was phenomenal.
I brought that up. That was so incredible.
Yeah.
Bro.
Or when they announce Roman in the ring, Paul's over his shoulder and he's looking at him like adoringly. Like,
or no, you know I love. Or the other one I like is when he would hand him his belt like that.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
he like would give, or he or he'd give him the microphone like that, and then back away.
Yeah.
He might snap at any moment.
Yeah. Or like giving the king, handing the king his sword or something like that.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Like
right.
presenting
that's
it.
Fucking. Yeah. Bro,
those are like those little things that AEW doesn't do.
Yeah.
That add so much to a character. Like it adds makes Roman so much larger than life.
I was gonna say that it's the little things. Like it's not like he. It never looks like he's trying too hard. You know, he's just off in the corner. He's subtle enough that you can see him. Whereas you got these guys on, you know, something they just try too hard sometimes.
And he added, you see him on Talking Smack, and he's incredible on Talking Smack. Then, you know, I think you've all read it, and this is a fact. You know, he was the guy pushing Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black and Garza and Andrade.
Yep.
They took him out.
Selena.
They got rid of them. Selena, bro. Paul should be writing, and like it's like, bro, you've got the best guy there, and you're not using him for what he's great at.
Look, Aleister Black hasn't even been on TV since Paul left that creative.
He hasn't even been in. He wasn't even in the Andre Battle Royal. Nothing. You know, he hasn't been anywhere.
Does Paul want it? Does he want to be in that role anymore? Or
I don't know.
Happy with just what he's doing though.
He always says different things in his interviews.
I don't know about that, but I'm sure he would like to write and be able to create. Bro, he's a master creator.
That's what he likes to do.
You know, and it's got to hurt him on some level that he was giving these people their first push, like he's done to so many other people, watching them grow, and they were like, politics got in the way, you know. And he'll wait his turn. Something will happen. He'll be back there again because he's fucking great.
It's funny that that
I actually forgot
angle,
about Aleister Black.
Yeah, right. It's been a while,
good, man.
So has the WWE.
Yeah, right.
Well,
the angle in this match with Edge was Edge kind of getting paranoid and flipping out and saying it's his spot, and you know he's kind of being pushed to the wayside. And it sucks because that's almost the case with the match. Like I haven't seen much on social media, or we haven't even mentioned it yet. About the match was great, and Paul did his part in Roman, but Edge was real fucking solid in this, and he's only had 3 matches since 2010 or whatever, you know, or 4 matches, whatever it's been. He was like Edge in 2010, man, or 2009, 2008, whatever. I would have never known. You know, he looked great.
Bro, and I was happy, man. I saw about 4 good matches, right? Mm-hmm. The only match I didn't like was a woman's match and the Fiend match. Everything else was good to very good to the main event. That was great. And I'm happy, man. I like to watch good wrestling. I don't want to fucking be bearing everything, even though that is fun too. But
I know what you mean, yeah.
There's nothing worse than sitting through something that you love so much for 3 hours and going, what the fuck? What is this? Back in the day. Am I getting too old saying back in the day? No, but it was better. You know, and it's like, you know, so thank
you. Bro, I'm trying to stop being that old man on the porch saying back in my day things were better. Yeah. You know, so you're right. There's glimmers
a lot of
hope
things
that.
Were. A lot of things were.
Yeah. Well, it does suck to watch.
Especially hip-hop music. Boom.
It does suck when we used to watch the shows and come on here and they were very long. And everyone was like, you know, like no one had a good time watching it. So it's refreshing for everyone to come on here. Everyone's kind of like optimistic. They're complimenting a lot more than they're criticizing and stuff like that, you know. So
if this show was combined, if you take the good matches from day one and the good matches from day two, and it was seven and a half hours, those later matches wouldn't have been as good.
Right.
It's just the way it is. It would have been, I would have been 8 hours in and it would have been terrible.
People would have been so tired, man.
There's something, I think I saw the future scheduled WrestleManias where there's some that are 2 days and then there's one in LA that is a 1 day. It goes back to
and
one
Dallas
day.
Is 1 day.
Dallas is 1 day. I didn't know that. Okay.
But no matter what, they should still, the time is perfect. 3 or 4 hours is perfect.
Yeah, perfect, perfect.
Like at least one thing was about like about today's show. At least the after you take like the first 45 minutes out, it was pretty solid the whole way through. They didn't stagger like the couple goofy matches like in throughout. But they got them out. At least you go back and watch it. You can start at the second hour period. You know,
bro. Let me tell you what happened to me. In AAA, we would put so many things on big shows and not so much matches, but just things in between matches, that our shows were typically running from 4.5 to 5 hours, right? And people were like, man, that's just too long. And I used to think to myself, yeah, it may be long, but the show's good, right? But at the end of the day, no matter how good something is, if you're tired, you're fucking tired. And wow. So one day I actually went to our competitor's wrestling show, right? And it was a big event, bro. And it was like over in 2.5 hours. And I was like, wow, what a difference. This felt great. You know, I feel like going out and doing something else. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not so tired. I just want to go home. And so then I made sure from that day on that all of our shows were 2.5 hours or 3 hours, and the people love it. So that's why I'm glad that they were able to reduce their time, because that extra time is just, you know, it's like when you go to the movie and something's so long, then you look at, fuck, when's this shit gonna be over? You know,
Lord of the Rings.
Same, Lord of the Rings for me too. Not only was it long, I still have no clue what I saw, and I asked.
You know? Yeah. Even like what a couple weeks ago, I tried to watch that Zack Snyder's Justice League. I had to watch it.
It's very long.
I watched it like, in two chunks. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very long. Yeah. What were you saying?
Joe likes to dress up as Wonder Woman.
Only on the odd days and weekends. Omar.
On OnlyFans?
Yeah, on OnlyFans. Omar, what were you saying? You got stepped on a little bit.
No, there. I was just going to say that's the benefit of having it for 2 days, right? So you can just have it condensed and have a few matches here and there. Because when I went to the one in New Orleans a few years ago, like you said, it was like 6-7 hours long. By the time the main event came, I was worn out. I mean, I was still hyped because I had been drinking, but I was worn out.
That's a long day of drinking, too. Like that. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I can't imagine. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I can't imagine like sitting in, like I haven't gone to any of those long, long-ass manias. So I can't even imagine myself like sitting in an arena for 8-9 hours. Like I went to the WrestleMania 6 back in Toronto when I was little. And I think that's 3 hours.
Like, something
I think
like it might
have been maybe four.
Maybe four with hours. The pre-show.
Yeah, but there was like 15 fucking matches on the card. You know what I mean? But I can't imagine sitting in like these 8 hours in the stadium. It's just.
I would like to say that every wrestling show that I've bumped into Joe at, they're usually in Philadelphia. Or have we bumped into each other in another one?
Florida. For Mania,
Florida.
One year, yeah.
He's always drunk, and has ended up in many a bathhouse because of it.
I know where the spots are. I know where the spots are.
I've gone to every WrestleMania for like the past 10 years, as you know, except for last year and this year. And those long shows are killer every time. Just, you know, you're out having fun. You're going, like, I was going to all the wrestling shows that weekend, whatever Ring of Honor was doing or the conventions and stuff like that. WrestleCon shows and stuff like that. And then you get to WrestleMania, then I'm boozing from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. That's probably my fault. But still, even if the show starts at 6 o'clock, it's not over till midnight or 1 a.m. And you're like, you know, what are you doing?
Bro, you don't even understand the scope of WWE until you're in an event like that. Yeah. I couldn't believe I went to the airport and all the fucking poles all said WrestleMania. You know, this city welcomes WrestleMania. It was everywhere. Yeah. I couldn't believe what a great job they do during WrestleMania weekend to get their fucking shit out. And the city helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's bringing in all those people. Like when I was in Orlando, it was the only time I've gone so far. And I didn't go to Mania, but I went to WrestleCon and this and that, Joey Janela's thing. And I went to Access, the fan convention. And that gives you just a little idea of how big in scope the thing is. There's all these fans there. There's, you know, merch over here, toys, signings, boom. Oh, shit, there's Paul. There's Linda McMahon. You know, it's like, it was a pretty cool experience. I would have went down this year, but it seemed to me they didn't have anything except Mania and fucking GCW. So it wasn't.
Well, you didn't want to see your boy KG?
Oh, he got slaughtered all weekend on Twitter, man.
I wish they would have thrown you and Teddy out together. if you would have gone to any of the collective shows.
Conan, but
Balloon Head got destroyed this week. I didn't see any of it. I always relish in when hot air balloon Pennywise gets destroyed.
Yeah, just search on Twitter for Kevin Gill. There's people that are fucking clawing their eyes out like, why is this guy on commentary?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay, any comments before we get out of here?
Overall, I really
great WrestleMania.
Because of the 2 days, I really enjoyed this year's Mania. Like, last year's was really, really hard to digest with the no crowd. But I was like, Yeah, overall, it was pretty good. I think, like you guys said, if it would have been one day, something would have suffered for sure.
It was cool to have a crowd again for sure. And I mean,
big difference. Yep.
Big difference from last year. And then the rain delay was really weird yesterday.
Wasn't it? It was strange. Yeah.
They recovered and they did pretty well for themselves. Yeah. I think.